Actor Treat Williams is currently starring in the Dorset Theater Festival production of David Mamet's American Buffalo. The show takes a fresh look at a trio of misguided misfits who are a little out of luck and way out of their league as they plot the theft of a rare coin collection. Treat Williams is the star of major motion pictures such as Hair and Prince of the City. He recently concluded filming the second season of Chesapeake Shores for the Hallmark Channel. American Buffalo runs through September 2nd, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Treat Williams to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it, too.
So this opportunity, obviously you are a part-time Vermonter, so you have had an affiliation with this wonderful theater company before, but what brought you to this particular production?
Well, first of all, I'm a full-time Vermonter.
Excellent.
Have been for 8 years. When we had a show called Everwood, and we raised our kids out there, got them through middle school, and then came back to Vermont about 8 years ago. And I had really never wanted to do any theater close to home. This was where I would rest between jobs. But when Dina Janis, who runs the theater, said to me, "Would you do a play?" And I said, "Oh, Dina, you know, I like taking my summers off." She said, "Well, it's David Mamet's American Buffalo." I said, "Absolutely, of course, immediately."
Right.
David and I have a relationship that goes back about 35 years, and we've done many, many things together. And I've always wanted to do this play, so this was the right time and the right place.
Now, he is a Vermonter, too, correct?
Yeah, he went to college in northern Vermont and still has a house here. Lives in California now, but he says he comes back quite often.
So what is it about Mamet's work, and this work in particular, American Buffalo, that is striking to you, especially now?
Well, a couple of things. David's work is really interesting. The way David writes, he writes the way people really talk. And I've always likened David's playwriting to violin. You know, if you have someone practicing the violin badly, it's probably one of the worst sounds you can possibly imagine. But if they play it well, it's extraordinarily beautiful. And I think David's language is the same. When it's played well, it's extremely natural. But I also think that, you know, that this play is really a lot about a lot of things that are going on in our country right now in terms of people undermining one another and about friendship. It's about loyalty. It's about doing the right thing, having a soul. And I think these guys are two of the characters are adrift, and the one character who's also somewhat criminal but has a parental instinct toward this young kid who's got a drug problem. So, you know, it all sort of reflects what's going on now in the country, I think, in a way without ever being, you know, preachy. And it's just fun to do.
You've been doing it now for almost a week. So what has it been like, the reaction from the audience?
Well, to be honest with you, because the language is so strong, when men are in a room together and there are no women around, they speak a certain way. Locker room talk, as I believe someone once said. And I was expecting walkouts, to be honest with you. I was expecting some of the nice ladies in Dorset to say, "My goodness, this is not what I expected from a summer theater." But there weren't. The audiences, I think, have been very, very enthusiastic. And when I come out of the theater, they say that they love the production. Like, take that at face value. So it's gone very well. The response has been extraordinarily positive.
Talk about the other two really incredible actors that you're working with on this production.
No, it's really interesting. It's kind of a Little Red Schoolhouse. We have Stephen Adley Gurgis, who stopped acting 13 years ago, became a very, very well-known playwright, and has won the Pulitzer Prize for his play Between Riverside and Crazy. And then we have a young actor who's just, this is his first Equity production, and he's an extraordinarily talented young man, Oliver. And I think he's going to go very far. He's just very, very good. But there's a kind of chemistry between the three of us, a certain kind of trust out there, because it's a lot of words, and we're all out there sort of without a net. And it's been a great experience. It's made us, the three of us, very close in a very short period of time.
Does it help that you have done Mamet before, that you have that under your belt?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think it's interesting. I you know, David is almost like conducting. It's almost like reading music. It's very important to honor the pauses and the commas, because that defines the rhythm of David's play. And we've done that, and it's pretty amazing. I've never done David's early work. I did some of his later work. I did Oleana off Broadway and another play at Lincoln Center of his called Bobby Gould in Hell. But I think also having had more experience under my belt, I think I'm a little better at his writing than I was before. So it's been really fun to revisit David's. And David wrote this play when he was 25 years old, which is astonishing. So yes, it's been extraordinarily helpful to have done his work before.
You talked at the beginning of our conversation about some reluctance to do plays or at least this play in your backyard and taking the summer off. But theater is a love, right? That is something that you like and you want to continue to do, I assume.
No, I've never stopped. I think theater gets put aside when you have two kids going through college.
Right.
It's not a high-paying occupation. So, I have
to. Gee, that's one of the big myths. I think people think you're, getting cash money on the table when you're out.
I'm lucky to get a sandwich at the general store, much less cash money. I mean, you can make a living on Broadway in a large Broadway show, but the kind of theater that I like doing usually is not, it's not Broadway. It's stuff that I just, I'm very fond of and would do for free. So most of us, we'll do the movies and television and be very grateful for it. But being out there with an audience with a good piece of material is always the highest honor for me.
So what do you look for next?
Ooh, I don't know. I look forward to some time off. I've been, learning the play and doing the series. I did a movie just before the series called The Great Race of Mercy, which will be out hopefully next winter. I did the series, and while I was doing the series, I was learning the play. And when the play is over, I think I'm going to do a film about the two kids from Vermont who committed the murder in New Hampshire, the two professors at Dartmouth. So there's that to look forward to. But I actually am looking forward to just flying my airplane and mowing my lawn and getting my office in order. Because I really hit the ground running here. I'd been away for almost 4 months in Canada. So I just want to kind of be a Vermonter again for a while. Forget that I'm an actor.
The plane, this is something you've been doing for how long? You've been a pilot for a very long time.
I got my pilot's license in 1973 and then worked my way up to commercial license and instructor and instrument and then commercial helicopter rating. And yeah, it's been a passion of mine since I was 20 and could afford it. I was driving a cab in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and every time I'd get $28, I would go and take a lesson. And I got my license the same time I graduated from Franklin and Marshall College. And I just never stopped flying. I just adore it. It's a wonderful kind of, it balances the show business world quite nicely.
What is it about it that balances it? I mean, in the sense that you're very freeing?
Well, let me put it this way. We could go out there and think we did a heck of a job in a play, and you read a review, which I haven't read in 30 years, but you read a review, and the review says that you stank. And you say, I thought I was pretty good, or I thought the production was good. In an airplane, if you're flying through weather and you are a competent pilot, you get from point A to point B, there's no one can take away from you the fact that you have this skill, and there's a great feeling of satisfaction in having, fulfilled that skill quite well, and no one can take that away from you. They can't say you flew a lousy flight today. You either flew the plane well or you didn't. So I think it's just more. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's something that makes me feel that I've done something well. And I've trained very hard for it, and I like doing it.
Is there something about where you're flying to, too? I mean, the fact that you are, whether, upstate or in Vermont, that there also is an openness?
Yeah, no, it's nice to be able to, I fly in and out of Rutland, and so it's an uncontrolled airport. So instead of being asking permission to land, you announce your intention so the other airplanes know where you are. It is. It's nice to be able, and I'm actually standing at a little grass strip where I have a smaller airplane, a Piper Cub two-seater. It's a grass airport. It's kind of like going back to 1958. It's wonderful. It's in Cambridge, New York, not far from you.
Yep.
And this is a kind of like going back to the past, tail draggers and guys just sitting around who like to fly airplanes for no other reason than just to fly them. Not going anywhere, just going flying. So that's fun too.
Well, Treat Williams is currently starring in the Dorset Theater Festival production of David Mamet's American Buffalo. It's running through September 2nd. Treat Williams, thank you very much for spending time with us. Have a delightful run and a great remainder of the summer and your time off.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Very nice to have you with us. Thank you. Again, Treat Williams starring in American Buffalo by David Mamet, running through September 2nd. DorsetTheaterFestival.org for more information. DorsetTheaterFestival.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.